Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Yes, give Jesus a great big hand. Amen. Praise God. Amen. What an exciting day this is. I've just been chomping at the bits to get here and be a part of the Well Fort Payne. And I just have to say for Pastor Spencer and Pastor Madison, guys, to plant a church and to pastor in our lifetime, I don't care how old or young you are, in our lifetime, this is the most difficult season to pastor or be a part of a church in any of our lifetime. Pastors cannot make a right decision. If they close the church, they don't have faith. If they open the church, they're not wise. They're opening their people up to death. And it's such a season of hostility and yet harvest. And I have watched them as they planted in this season and have led through this season. They're like the Acts 6 leaders with wisdom and with faith. Come on, everybody. They did both, and they have such limitless courage and then integrity. And so never, never, never honor a guest speaker more than you would honor your own pastors. So now I want you to stand and honor them. Will you do that right now? Give them a great big hand. Praise God. Thank you for your leadership. Amen. Thank you for your leadership. And you know, this is October, and across our nation, they call it Pastor Appreciation Month. But it's not a religious thing. It's not an American thing. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 13. The Bible says specifically, honor your leaders who preach and teach the Word of God. It says give them double honor. So that's more honor than you'd honor the president. And we should honor the president. Come on, everybody. So I just want to honor them today and say how excited I am to be with them and to see what God is doing here. And guys, let me tell you, this is awesome. I go to churches every week, and this is a mega church today, let me tell you. And so I thank God to be able to be here with you and just in this season. Now, I've been preparing a message for 2 weeks for this morning on pain. And Friday morning, as I was praying and walking in the auditorium of the church where my office is, a church we planted about 21 years ago. I'm not the pastor of it, but I have an office there in Sneed. And I was walking, and God immediately, I know the voice of the Holy Spirit, said, "Nope, I want you to stop, and I want you to go here." And he took me back to a message that I feel burning in my spirit, especially in this season, and especially for these people. And I call it submerged to emerge. Submerged to emerge. Everybody say that out loud with me. Submerged to emerge. Now, about 2 years ago, in 2018, this very month, I was in Indonesia, and I was with a group of young people that were pastoring a church, and the pastor had to be gone, and he asked me to come in for 2 months and work with the staff. They were all about 21 to 28 years old, the whole staff, and the church was growing. Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus were getting saved by the hundreds. The church doubled in about 3 months' time, and so they had been working. I said, "You guys need a day off. We're going somewhere. Let's pick somewhere to go, and we're going." Well, I should never have told them that, because they decided they wanted to go to a theme park. I don't ride rides. I'm 59. I'm 60 now. I was 59 when this took place. I said, I don't ride rides, but I'll go and I'll walk with you. And I did. I did what I do every time I go to a theme park. I stand back behind the barricades. I look at what everybody's doing with knots in my stomach, thinking, "Oh my God, I can't even stand to just sit there and watch other people do it." And so I went for 2 hours. I watched and I watched and I watched. And they're all ribbing me and all of this and telling me, oh, you said face your fears, face your fears. I just laugh at them. But about 2 hours into it, different knots began to develop in my stomach. And then there were these knots kind of like, you are going to regret not doing this. And I'm like, the knots of fear begin to become the same knots of regret. And then suddenly, I have two grandsons. One is 7, one is 4. At that time, they were 5 and 2. And I just began to get this thought. One day, your grandsons are going to want to go to a theme park. And what are you going to do? And those knots begin to form in my stomach. All of a sudden, I looked at those bunch of young people and I said, let's go back to the first ride. I'm riding every one of them. I got a little 1 minute video. You got to get in. Now, you got to remember, we're not in the United States. We're in Indonesia. I don't know what their laws and their governments is. You understand? I don't know what restrictions they have. And so, can you show that video for me right quick and just let everybody kind of see? That's me in the blue shirt right there with my hands up. I was scared to death before I ever got on the first ride. Now, I hate heights, but I'm right there in the middle, right there, with the blue shirt on. This one's inside a building, and that thing spins while it also goes up and down. This is death right here. Now, what you got to understand is, I was like this on every ride when I would first get on the seat. But once it would take off, I can't explain it. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit or not. I mean, but God was doing something in my life. I got to where I was holding my hands in the air. I was laughing. I was yelling and doing. And that last ride, now in the United States, rides like this last between 30 seconds and a minute. Over there, they last between 2.5 and 5 minutes. And they're speaking in Indonesian. I asked the guy, one of the guys with me, I said, what are they saying? He said, they're saying once we start the ride, we will not stop it. But I'm telling you, I got off of those rides and I was so glad that I came out from behind the barricades, faced my fears. Now I can't wait. I'm going for Christmas to see my grandsons. And then after Christmas, we're going to Disneyland. Come on, everybody. And I'm going to have a blast with my grandsons. Now, I tell you that because God has gifted you, He created you, He's chosen you, He's redeemed you, He's saved you, He's equipped you, He has called you, He has placed you here, and He has something so great for you to do, something He wants you to pull off, but you're never going to be able to do it standing behind the barricades watching everybody else. God has more for you than a Sunday morning worship experience. God has more. He don't want you to go to church. He wants you to be the church. Not on Sunday, but on every day. He has an exciting life called a relationship with Jesus. And once you get on, it should never stop. Just like those rides. You should stay on this wild ride. Too many Christians, their relationship with God has become boring. And I want to say this, that several years ago, I began to see this. And I love hanging with young people. I'm 60 now, be 61 in March. Most of my time, I hang with people between 20 and 40 years old. And I love it. And I want to keep being able to pour into the next generation. And so I spend a lot of time with them. And several years ago, I began asking them questions because see, they don't want to live a boring Christian life. They have been through. You got to understand just the last 20 years. We started this whole thing with Y2K. Does anybody remember that? We've had SARS. We've had bird flu. We've had swine flu. We've had anthrax. We've had Ebola. We've had E. coli. Come on, everybody. This pandemic isn't anything new. We've had the stock market crash. We've had the Mayan calendar that in 2012 said we were supposed to be gone already. Come on, everybody. Now we got killer bees headed our way. And listen, they've lived through all of that. And they want to give their life for something. They don't want Christianity to be a part of their life. They want to give their life to Christ. Come on, I'm not talking about a one-time set of prayer. I'm talking about giving their life to Christ. And then I would say, well, explain a little more to me. And I don't want to make anyone uncomfortable, but maybe church doesn't need to be comfortable anymore. Can I have a better amen? And they would say stuff like this. They would say, well, I love my mom and dad. I love them. I love them. I respect them. And I believe that they're saved. And they tithe. And they serve at the church. And they usher and they greet and they do it. And I believe when they die, they're going to heaven. But I'll just be honest with you. I don't believe they're living their purpose. And listen, it's hard for me to be respectful and honorable at the same time tell them, I don't want to get a good education so I can get a good job, so I'll have a good retirement, and so I can have a nice house, and so that I can travel when I'm old and live like you. And they're not being disrespectful. Listen to me, they're not being disrespectful. They're saying, I want to live for something worth dying for. Can I have a better amen? Might be a good thing to do. Every now and then, ask your kids, do you think dad is living his purpose? Y'all don't get quiet on me. See, what God has for you to do is so much bigger than you. You'll never pull it off in your own strength. You're not smarted enough. You're not gifted enough. You're not talented enough. You're not experienced enough. You're not educated enough. Come on, everybody. It's going to take something greater than you if you're going to live the life God has planned for you. Jesus died, rose again, 40 days, popped in and out of walls. If you notice, every time Jesus appeared after the resurrection, he said, "Fear not." I can understand that. Because every time somebody popped through a wall on me, I would be afraid. And he said this in Acts chapter 1, in one of his last meetings with them. It says, Jesus instructed them, verse 4 and 5. Jesus instructed them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I told you about. The gift the Father promised. Everybody say, my Father's made me a promise. He's promised you a gift. And look what he says. He says, for John baptized in water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everybody say that out loud with me. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Say it one more time. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Is this okay for Sunday morning? Listen to me, everybody. It better become okay. Amen. We are not the same church. The church is not the same church. God don't want it to be the same church. That's why he shut it down. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. We've lost half the church in America. That's the statistics. We lost half of them. Well, no, we really didn't. They weren't the church or we wouldn't have lost them. Come on, everybody. This word baptize is this thing. God started dealing with me about this 2 years ago when I was flying back from Indonesia. God began to deal with me about this theme of baptism, because it's not a word we use in any other part of our life. It's not. It's only used in church. It's only used in the Bible and when we're in church and preaching. Because and it's the original word in the Greek. They didn't translate it. This is the word in the Greek, baptizo. Because what it means, and it has a lot of meanings. It means to go all in. It means to be overwhelmed. It means to be submerged. Everybody say submerged. Submerged. Totally into. And so we understand water baptism. You go down in the water and you come up out of the water. But the Bible talks about several baptisms, really about seven or eight. I'm not going to preach all eight of them, so don't get nervous this morning. But I do want to preach a couple if I can. And the first one is found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. And this is what God said, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ," everybody say those three words, "baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ." See, this is not, 33 years ago I said the sinner's prayer, shook a preacher's hand, filled out a card, went through the growth track, and now I come and I show up every Sunday. No, it means to be submerged into Christ, Christos, the anointed one, so that literally I have put him on. I have been clothed with him. Do you understand? In other words, one day about 25 years ago, our worship pastor was named Stephen. He's a worship pastor in Arab now at Liberty Church. But he came in a gorilla costume. We didn't know who was behind the costume. We didn't know who it was. In other words, to be clothed with Christ means our identity should be more like him than it is like the Powell name. Come on, somebody. To be clothed with Christ. This organic, everyday living relationship with Jesus. Not a Christianity, not a religion. Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. He came to change our lifestyle. Monday through Sunday. Come on, everybody. To where our lives look like the principles and the of Jesus Christ in the Word of God. You see, if your relationship with Jesus doesn't mess you up on a regular basis, doesn't cause you to not go there anymore, stop doing that. I'm not talking about sin. He will just change your life. Come on, everybody. And if it's not interrupting your schedule on a regular basis, if it don't interfere with your politics on a regular basis, come on, I need an amen. If it doesn't intervene in the time of a corona crisis, I mean, listen to me. If it doesn't interfere and intervene in a corona crisis, I mean, what happened to all those scriptures we used to quote? If God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, everybody. If it doesn't, we may be Christ acceptors, but we're not Christ followers. And there is a difference in being a Christ acceptor and a Christ follower. Follower means I'm doing it every day, and it will mess my life up on a daily basis. I can't read all of this, but I'm going to try. I would like to challenge everyone in this room to write down Luke chapter 6. Write it down or put it in your notes on your phone. Type it in. Whatever. Luke chapter 6. And I would like to challenge you to take the next 75 days. Is it 75 days left? The next 75 days and just meditate and read Luke chapter 6. And really just the scriptures I'm fixing to give you. Verse 27 through 36. If you just take this portion, it'll take you 75 days to understand it. Watch this. Not have a Bible study on it. Not share it with somebody else. But to actually work it into your everyday life and practice it in your family, in your job, in your school. Come on. In your everyday life. So let me read just a little bit of these are the words of Jesus. But if you will listen, look at somebody and say, will you listen? See, because Jesus understood some people won't listen. But he said, but if you will listen, I say to you, love your enemies and do something wonderful for them in return for their hatred. Listen. Oh, I love my enemies. He didn't just say love your enemies. Love is an action. You can't love without doing. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to quit talking to everybody else about what your enemy did to you. I want you to do something for your enemy. Some of you won't hear another word I said because you are in turmoil right now. And that's what baptized, submerged into Christ ought to do to you on a regular basis. With that wayward son, with that ex-wife. Come on, somebody. I can't preach this whole verse. I just got to read through it right quick. When someone curses you, curse them back. Post about it on Facebook. Call the prayer team. Now bless that person in return. Bless that person in return. When you are mistreated and harassed by others, accept it as your mission to pray for them. Understand what God is saying to you. When someone mistreats you and someone is hateful to you, immediately don't get mad, get angry. When you feel that rise up, remember the words of Jesus. Say, wait a minute. God just allowed that to happen to me because that person needs prayer. There may be nobody else praying for them. God let them come along and run into me because I'm not a Christ acceptor. I'm not a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. And I follow the principles of Jesus in my everyday life. I'm going to tell you, it's going to mess your world up. I had a guy who was in Miami airport with my daughter. And there was this big man standing. And I was standing back here. He was at the counter. Here's the ticket counter. He was leaned on the counter there. I was standing here. There was a lady here. And all of a sudden, he turns around and looks at me. And he says, starts calling me names right there in front of everybody. Stood up about 6'6". He started accusing me of trying to break in line. And then he said something about my mother. I didn't know he knew my mother. And I'll never forget, I took my daughter by the hand and I walked off. And these words from Jesus running through my brain, I walked off. I looked at my daughter. I said, baby, we don't know what happened. He may have been bullied as a child. He may have suffered racism. We don't know. He may have been sexually abused. We don't know what happened. See, when somebody acts like that, what they're really doing is crying out and say, I need somebody to love me. I need somebody to pray for me. Hello? Then he says this, when someone comes to beg from you, give to that person what you have. When things are wrongly taken from you, don't demand they be given back. Ho, 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 right there. See, I need to make this practical or you're going to let it go right over your head. Come on, everybody do that right there. Come on, do that right there. You're going to let it go right over your head. In other words, if somebody borrowed money from you and you loaned it in good faith, in fact, this is a scripture that a lot of people misquote. They will misquote it about giving. And they'll say you should give expecting nothing in return. The Bible never tells you that. Everywhere the Bible tells you to give, in the same verse or the exact following, it'll tell you God's going to give it back to you. What this verse really means is lend, give to people who are in need expecting nothing in return from them. From them. Now, here's what I want to help you with. I'm going to make this practical. I felt this by the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm going into it. If somebody has taken money from you, see, it's created all this tension. There's tension in your relationship. There's tension inside of you. You can't rest at night. You're talking about it all the time. It's coming out. It may have created a wall between you and some family member or some friend. Let me tell you how you apply this verse of scripture. You turn around and you say, nope, I cancel the debt. You didn't take that from me. I'm going to give it to you. Because see, as long as I'm frustrated, I'm not believing God. But the moment I take that loan and I cancel the loan and I make it a gift, it becomes a gift that God says, give, and it will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You can overcome the frustration and even rebuild the relationship. That's for somebody in this room. I can't go any further. Just keep reading. Because God says he's kind to the unjust and the mean. And he wants us to be that way. Be baptized into Christ. Now the second one is water baptism. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 21. And let me tell you this. You can look it up in several translations. You can look it up in the Greek. And theologians really struggle with this verse of scripture. Because Peter is talking about Noah and the flood. And how that Noah made it through the flood. Him and his seven other family members. And look what it says. It says, and that water, talking about the flood waters. Everybody say flood waters. And that water is a picture of baptism. what's the next four words say? I'm not going to mess it up, son. You know me. But they struggle with these words, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I am not saying that water baptism saves you spiritually. Does everybody understand that? I don't believe that's what that says. You say, well, I don't either. Because the thief on the cross was not baptized. You're right, he wasn't. But he never lived another day past that day. He never had an opportunity. And he didn't have to live out breaking that thieving habit in his life, because he died and went to heaven right then. You aren't. Let me help you understand what this verse means. Because we understand what water baptism, it's identifying with Christ, saying, I'm dead. I died with Christ on the cross. When I come out of that water, I'm coming up a brand new person. A brand new person. And I'm going to tell you why people in the church today, people that love God, cry and weep, can't break addictions in their life. Cannot break habits in their life. Come on, everybody. Cannot break attitudes in their life. I'm going to tell you why. You want me to tell you why? Because you're in rebellion to God if you've never been baptized in water. You are in rebellion. From the day you accepted him, watch this, you said, Jesus, I want you as my Lord. He says, repent and be baptized. And what you said was, I want you as my Lord, but I'm not going to obey the first commandment you gave me to. Now watch this. And we've become comfortable with it. We have told ourselves it's okay. See, because of religion, because of the church of America, we've told ourselves it's okay. Everybody, you get to choose whether you want to be baptized in water or not. No, you do not. The moment you say no to water baptism, instantly you set in yourself the ability to pick and choose which verses of the Bible that you're going to obey and which ones you're not going to obey. You immediately set a habit of disobedience in your life. See, Jesus knew if you can overcome your pride. I've heard all the excuses. Well, I don't want my makeup. I'll look horrible coming out. Honey, they got makeup that won't run now. Come on, somebody. Well, it'll mess my hair up and they'll take pictures and I'll look like a drenched rat. Don't let pride get in your way. I'm talking about being immersed in water, submerged, watch, so you can emerge with the ability to break other habits. Jesus knew when you get born again, yes, you're spiritually born again, but your flesh has to be trained. Your flesh has to be saved. Come on, everybody. That word saved there, sozo, means nothing missing, nothing broken. In other words, completeness. Not just born again so you go to heaven when you die, but born again with the ability to break old habits and to reframe your life in the things of God. And you will not be able or find the strength if you don't begin with water baptism, saying, yes, God. It doesn't matter what I look like. It don't matter where it happens. Listen, I've baptized people in bathtubs, jacuzzis, swimming pools, rivers, creeks. Come on, everybody. It doesn't matter. It's the obedience. And obedience is like this. When I obey immediately, it breaks that flesh man in me and creates the ability that I can obey in other areas. That's why I don't struggle with tithing. I don't struggle with serving. Come on, everybody. Because I've been baptized in water. I broke the old man's ability to rebel against God. Is that all right? Is this good? I don't know if we're laughing yet, but we may be crying. Come on, somebody. The third one is found in 1 Corinthians 12:13. And if you don't mind, I'm going to use a paraphrase on this verse. You can look it up, write it down, look it up. But I want to use the paraphrase. It says, but the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together into one body. Look at somebody and say, I'm fitted. Huh? Come on, say, I'm fitted. We have been baptized, submerged into Christ's body. Everybody say, the body of Christ. You've been fitted. Well, I just don't feel like I fit here. Have you been baptized? Have you dove all into the body? I'm not talking about show up on Sunday morning. Listen to me, everybody. You are fitted gifted. God knew every gift that you have. He knew your personality. He knew the work that He has done in your life and the work He wants to do in your life. And He fitted all of you together because He knew where you lacked, other people in this room would not lack. And where they lacked, you would not lack. And your gifts were intended to help them become everything God wants them to become. And their gifts are intended to help you become everything God wanted you to become. And as long as you just are a lobby lizard. Come on, no lobby lizards at Well Fort Payne. Come on, everybody shout, no lobby lizards. You know what a lobby lizard is? They slip in during this worship, slump down, and slide out as soon as the sermon is over. Those days are over, church. Listen to me. It's time to invest your life into this group of people. Open your homes to one another. Pour your lives into each other. Share your hurts and your hang-ups and your habits. Share your victories and your successes. Share your encouragement. Share your money. Share your food. It's time to go all in and submerge yourself into the Well Fort Payne where you can emerge the person that God intended you to be when He put you here. Can I have a better amen? Come on, I need a better amen. See, until you give yourself, you keep this wall up, you're never going to be satisfied. They're never going to sing the songs you like. The temperature's never going to be good. The sermon's never going to be. You were looking around at other people. What are they getting out of this? I don't ever get it. It's because you have walled your heart up. Paul said one time, he said to the Corinthian church, he said, I love you, but you've walled your heart. And you don't love me the way I love you. We're a body. One member suffers, we all suffer. One member celebrates, we all celebrate. Fitted. Fitted. There's a verse of scripture I want to read if I can. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Will y'all read this out loud with me? And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but in well, don't you, pastor, preacher, don't you understand we got a pandemic going on? It's dangerous. You wouldn't be sitting here today if the early Christians of the first century church didn't put their lives in danger every day. Not to corona, but to being fed to lions. Beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, put in prison, left for dead. They endured danger every day so that you and I could sit here today, born again, filled with the Spirit of God, in the body of Christ. It's time to go all in. I'm not a prophet. Pastor Greg's a prophet. I'm not a prophet. But I do sense we're going to give ourselves more and more to the body of Christ. There's going to be so much going on. And I'm not talking about we have to be in this building together doing it. I'm not talking about that here every night. I'm talking about you're not going to need a program to get you together anymore. It's going to be the power of God pulling you together to be the body of, and we're going to need one another like we've never needed one another before. And you know how it used to be? We kind of pick and choose who we wanted to be with in the church. Huh? You know, they got this word called homophobia. Have y'all heard that word? Well, I think we got heterophobia. Hetero just means different. We're afraid of anybody that's different than us. So we want to just get with people just like us. The problem is you're stunning your spiritual growth and you're stunning theirs. In fact, listen to me, until you invest your heart I don't know in what way that means for you. See, if I start giving you a list, you'll try to check off a list. I don't know your heart, but God does. Until you fully say, I am going to submerge myself into this body. This is where I'm planted. This is where I'm going to die. I'm going to be here and do and become what God has called me to become. And until you do, you are robbing the rest of us. You're robbing us. You're stunning us. You're hindering us. We need you. I got to go back one more time, then I'll hurry up. Everybody is so afraid of dying. And listen, people are dying. I don't minimize it. A pastor in our community died yesterday from COVID. Been there longer than I was, 33 or 34 years. He died yesterday. Broke my heart. That church is grieving. He's been that church's pastor for over 32 or 33 years. But I'm more afraid that we're not living. I'm more afraid we're not living this life. Listen, it's time some of us come out from behind the barricades. And fully, what would it look like for you to fully give yourself to Jesus and say, no more restrictions, no more locked doors, no more nailed windows, no more. What do you want from me today? And then you got to get up in the morning. I'm going to tell you something. While you're asleep, something drastic happens. While I'm asleep, my old man comes back to life. And I have to die again tomorrow morning. It gets easier every day. I mean, what if you did, your schedule would change a lot because God will change it. Give yourself. Don't miss living because you're afraid of dying. I got news for you. Listen to me. You're going to die. If COVID don't get you something else, is, I promise you, you're going to die. Look at me. It's 100%. The statistics is everybody who's ever lived died. But don't miss living worried about dying. Your pastor will clean all this up next Sunday. And then he says, Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you, who's the you? Can anybody tell me who the you is? Everybody shout me. Look, watch how many times he uses it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And, no, my preacher, I'm glad we're live streaming. I told my friends to watch today where they could get saved. If you just come talk to my pastor. No, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Immersed, submerged. I'm telling you, we've got to be submerged in the power of the Holy Spirit. In that power, that ability, that force, that strength that's greater than me, that's more than I can do, that takes me out of myself, not in some weird way, but it takes me out of myself. There's sometimes I just wish I could just go watch and I would amen myself. That sounds arrogant, don't it? I'm not being arrogant because I'm thinking to myself, this is not me. I'm not this smart. I'm not this talented. I'm not this gifted. I'm not this educated. But the power of the Spirit of God brings me out of myself into that self that's able to do everything God asks me to do. I know you're afraid. I know you think you'll say the wrong thing. I know you don't know the Romans road. You don't need any of that. You just need the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, to be baptized in the Spirit of God is to be totally immersed like water. And I don't know if you've ever recognized this, but when you get in water, all the way down to water, you can do things in water you can't do out of the water. You can lift things in water you can't lift out of the water. My brother, last Memorial Day a year ago, 2019, he was disabled. And he could barely walk like this with a cane. Disabled, had heart problems, all this. I took him and my mother to Orange Beach. And My mother was 90 years old then. She's fixing to turn 92. And we got down in the swimming pool. My brother couldn't because of the steps. I already knew he couldn't. But he got, after a little while, I looked. Mother said, look, David's coming in the pool. He got people to help him. And he was standing up against the side of the pool. And so I'm all on the other side with my mom, making sure she's okay. And suddenly, here he comes in the water, crying, tears flowing down his face. Because for a brief moment, out of nearly 2 years of disability, he was being able to do things in that water that he couldn't do it when he got back out of the water. He'd get back in the water, he could do it, get back out of the water. See, we need to be attempting some things, and it takes an immersion of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Glory to God. I don't have a high school diploma. I do think I got a GED now. I have no college education. The town I live in is 1,250 people. I've been out of the country over 100 times. 46 nations of the world. I've preached in huts in the middle of the Amazon jungle. I've preached in 25,000 seat auditoriums in Surabaya, Indonesia. I've survived the tsunami in Thailand. I survived the earthquake in Pakistan. I was there when it happened. Go into church services where I was the only American, the only white person, and they had to have metal detectors for everybody else to come through so that no one could kill me while I was there. Drive me around in a van with curtains on the windows with two guys with AK-47s. If I'd have known all that before I went, I wouldn't have went. I'm ready to die. That don't mean I want to. I've preached professional business women's conferences. You've heard me tell it. Where 80 women, I was the only white person, I was the only man speaker at an all-women 3 days business, not a church event, a business event. I couldn't preach like I'm preaching now. Only thing they told me is that we want you to speak on these three subjects. But at the end of each one of your speeches, they called it, you can share your faith. That's all I needed, baby. Because at the end of that thing, over 80 women, professional business women, Dubai, come on, Singapore, come on everybody, Cameroon, four of them were congresswomen, two of them were Muslim women, gave their heart to Jesus Christ. That wasn't me. I'm just a preacher, I'm not a speaker. Not long ago, and I'll close with this. Not long ago, I was invited to speak virtually to 55 nations of the world. And they told me, they said, you can speak 35 minutes. You can't quote scripture. You know, like this is found in Acts 1:8, says you can't quote scripture or the Bible. We need you to talk on this subject. But you can share your faith. In fact, by the time we actually got there, the guy said, finish your speech, I'll come on live, and I'll interview you, and I'll open the door for you to share your faith. But I had to speak with a teleprompter. I've never used a teleprompter in my life. I was so overwhelmed trying to do it. I would read it and 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 stumble and fumble. And it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. And I wanted to quit. I wanted to call and say, I can't do it. But the Spirit of God said, no, you can't do it. That's why I want you to do it, because it won't be you. It'll be me. That day it was like I was in a fog. It was like something came over me. I can show you the whole speech. It's me. I'm just free and doing it. Reading every word off of a teleprompter to 55 nations of the world. Muslims, atheists, agnostic, Hindus, Buddhists, giving their heart to Jesus Christ. It was on like a chicken bone. Come on, somebody. you will receive power. See, get so sick of listening to my stories that you can start telling your own. They'll be different than mine. But you need some stories to tell your kids. See, do you remember what got me out from behind the barricades was my grand voice. See, when I die, and I'm going to die, you are too. I want some stories to be told that I lived my purpose. I was immersed. I'm messing some people up in this room. I'm not going to read it, but in Ezekiel chapter 47, there's about three verses, 3, 4, 5, where God brought Ezekiel out to a river. He told him to get in. It was ankle deep. Get in. It was knee deep. Go in. And it was waist deep. And then he said he came to waters that was over his head. Waters to swim in. Now this is what I want you to understand. As long as I'm in ankle deep water, my feet still on the ground, I'm still in control. As long as I'm knee deep, my feet still on the ground, I'm still in control. As long as I'm waist deep. And I believe there's people in this room that are ankle deep, knee deep, and waist deep. And I know it's scary. It's scary like me watching them rides thinking, for my grandkids' sake, I've got to get on it. Once you get on the waters to swim in, your feet leave the ground. And you're not in control anymore. You go where the current leads. And that's what God wants to do in your life. Glory to God. Stand to your feet with me. I forgot to ask Pastor how to do this. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. I realize that every time we come together, there could be somebody who doesn't know Jesus. And I want you to know. I want you to know. You're the reason we're here today. We're not here for a social club. We're here to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying. And if you're here, God wants to give you a family. Jesus died for you. God loved you. He's not mad at you. He loved you so much He killed His own Son for you. And He raised Him from the dead. So you could do more than just be a Christ acceptor, but where you could be baptized in the power of God. If today you want to accept Jesus, right where you're standing, right where you are, I'm going to count to three, and when I do, if in your heart you believe that God loved you enough to die for you, and you want Jesus to become the Lord of your life, then when I say three, I want you to put your hand up. Will you do it? 1, 2, 3. Just put it up right where you are. Now our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just for a holy moment. I'm not going to tell Pastor who raised their hand. I don't know most of you, so. But if you know this message was for you today, that God is speaking to you, He's drawing you, He's dealing with you, He's wanting you to take a step today. If you're ankle deep, He wants you to go a little deeper, knee deep, a little deeper, waist deep. Some of you, He wants you to just get in the water. Be submerged so you can emerge. If you know God is speaking to you, will you just put your hand up and put it right back down? You said, this message was for me. I know God sent you here for me today. Glory to God. Now, if you're comfortable, let's all lift our hands for just a minute. Father, I pray the brooding breath of God, the Spirit of the Lord, to baptize people in this room this morning. Baptize us into Christ. Baptize us into the body. God, there's people in this room need to be baptized in water. They need to tell Pastor today. They need to tell him today. I'm not putting it off another day. I need to be baptized in water. I'm going to break these addictions. I'm going to break these cycles in my life. In the name of Jesus. And then, Father, we open our lives. Come on, everybody, just do it. Just open your arms. We open our lives to the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, flood our lives today. Fill us. Lift us out of ourselves. Take us into situations where if you don't, we can't. Take us into situations we'll fail without your strength and without your power. Baptize the Wellfort Pain. Oh, in the person of Christ and in the power of Holy Spirit in our lives. Until every one of us emerge, not as a Christ acceptor, but as a Christ follower, living out the destiny and the purpose of God for our lives. I thank you for this house today. I thank you for these pastors today. And I pray your anointing on them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just take a minute. Just for right where you are now. Just talk to the Lord for just one moment. We worship you, Jesus. We magnify you. We open our lives to you. Bring correction where I need correction. Bring direction where I need direction. Bring protection where I need protection. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We love you, Father.